ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the story of a United States senator. You are going behind the scenes of political Washington, into the Senate chambers, the cloakrooms, the private offices, the meetings, secret and public. The locale, the background, are factual. Only the names and the stories are fictional. This is Freedom, USA. Starring Tyrone Power as the Senator of the United States and featuring the voice of America's distinguished news commentator and Washington authority, Edwin C. Hill. Freedom, USA. The story of your government today. In a moment, listen to Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA. Now, we present Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards and featuring the voice of Edwin C. Hill.
This is Edmund C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. The Washington scene is not merely a matter of passing on and executing laws and administering justice. Inevitably, in any great capital, and Washington is the greatest in the world today, there are undercurrents of intrigue and espionage. Strictly speaking, these are not the province of a senator until they come to light. Sometimes, however, events may catapult any man into the position facing Senator Dean Edwards in his office after hours, hard at work.
And there is precedent for such legislation.
Senator Edwards, may I intrude?
Oh, Senator Vanion, I didn't hear you come in, sir. Sit down.
Thank you. Are we alone?
Yes. My secretary left hours ago. Just thought I'd stick around and do a little polishing on a bill I'm presenting next week. No. What's on your mind?
Senator Edwards, I'm worried. Deeply worried.
Anything on which I can help?
I don't know. As you know, I'm with the committee working with our armed services on military weapons.
Yes, I know. It's been a bit on the hush-hush side, but I hear you're doing quite a job.
I think we are. At least I thought so, up until tonight.
What do you mean?
I don't know whether you've ever met my assistant, John Canby.
Yes, I have. Seems pretty able and intelligent.
He is. I've depended on him for much of the liaison work with the military. I've always considered him trustworthy.
Well, have you any reason to change your opinion now?
I'm not sure. Senator, 2 hours ago, John Canby left the Pentagon with a copy of a report on Project X. He was to bring it to my office at once. He hasn't appeared yet.
Perhaps he was detained at one of the offices there.
No, I checked. He left the building.
The Pentagon's a labyrinth. More than one man has gotten lost in those corridors.
Well, Canby knows the building like a book. Senator Edwards, this is serious.
Could he have taken time out for dinner?
No, my instructions were implicit. He was to bring the report back promptly. I'm worried. What am I going to do?
Well, tell me this, Senator Vanion. What does this report on Project X contain?
Details on production progress of a new secret weapon.
Oh, then I think we should notify the Secret Service.
Well, I don't like to raise a hue and cry about this. I don't want to alarm the public about it.
I know how you feel, but it will be kept confidential.
Yes, I suppose you're right. This is very disturbing. Comes at an awkward time, too. Just when I'm in the midst of a lengthy report I must present to my committee tomorrow.
Well, I have some time, Senator. Let me follow this thing through, will you?
Of course. And I'm deeply grateful, Dean.
Do you have Canby's address?
Yes, he lives in the county. Here, I jotted the address down on this envelope. It's quiet, the residential street in Arlington.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll get right over there and see what I can learn.
Just a moment. Yes?
Mrs. Canby?
Yes, I am.
I'm Senator Edwards.
Well, how do you do, Senator? Won't you come in?
Thank you.
What can I do for you, Senator Edwards?
Mrs. Canby, have you heard from your husband this evening?
No, I haven't. I don't know what to think. It isn't like him not to let me know when he's working late. Senator Vanion, my husband works for him, telephoned earlier. I don't know what could have happened to John.
Does he usually come home for dinner?
Yes, he does, or else he phones if he can't take the time. Why do you ask?
Because your husband was carrying some rather important papers when he left the Pentagon this evening. We're worried about them.
Senator Edwards, you don't think my husband would do anything dishonorable. Oh, maybe that's John now.
Mrs. Canby, isn't that someone lying out there on your lawn?
Do you think it could be... Oh, no.
I must get to that car.
John. Oh, my poor dog.
They got away. Any idea whose car that was, Mrs. Canby?
No, I've never seen it before. Did you get the license number?
I wasn't fast enough, but I did catch the letters DPL.
A diplomatic license?
Exactly. Dark sedan with a diplomatic license plate. How's your husband?
I don't know. He doesn't move. I'm afraid.
Let me have a look. Unconscious, but he's breathing. Pretty badly beaten over the head.
Can we get him inside?
I don't think we'd better move him. There may be other injuries. Get a pillow and some blankets to keep him warm. I'll phone the hospital to send out an ambulance.
Mrs. Canby, Senator Edwards, you can see him now.
How is he, Doctor?
His chances are fair, Mrs. Canby.
May we speak to him?
Yes, Senator, but only for a few minutes.
Thank you.
John, dear?
Oh, hello, darling.
John, this is Senator Edwards.
Hello, Mr. Canby.
Honored, Senator Edwards.
Now, just relax, Mr. Canby. Doctors here at Walter Reed are among the best in the world. They'll get you back in shape before long. Do you think you could answer a few questions?
I'll try.
Who did this?
I don't know.
Where did you go after you left the Pentagon, Mr. Canby?
To parking lot. Very dark. My car.
What happened then?
Got the car. Somebody behind me hit me overhead. All I can remember.
You didn't see who it was that struck you?
No. Report. Must bring report, Senator Vanion. Urgent.
Where did you have this report, Mr. Canby?
In briefcase. Very, very important. Where's briefcase? Must bring it right to office.
Mr. Canby.
John. John, dear.
Easy, Mrs. Canby. He's unconscious again.
Doctor? Doctor?
Yes, Mrs. Canby?
He's unconscious.
Well, don't be alarmed. Not uncommon in such cases. We'll take good care of him. I think you'd better go home, Mrs. Canby. We'll keep you posted.
Yes, Doctor. Thank you.
And don't worry.
Thank you, Doctor.
I'll keep you informed on his progress, Senator.
I'm very much obliged, Doctor.
Senator Edwards, how is he?
The doctor says his condition is just fair, Senator Vanion. He's had a nasty beating. Possible concussion and fracture.
Can I see him?
I doubt it.
Was he able to tell you anything? Does he know who his assailants were?
No. No, he was struck from behind while he was walking to his car on the parking lot.
Oh.
He had the report in his briefcase. Apparently it's disappeared. I'll have the lot checked to make certain.
Well, that's very kind of you, Senator Edwards. I'm afraid we must conclude that the assault on Canby was engineered to obtain the report on Project X.
No doubt of it, Senator Vanion.
I shall notify the necessary agencies. Well, I guess there's nothing more we can do tonight.
No. No, it's getting late. First thing tomorrow, Senator Vanion, I'll check on cars with diplomatic license plates.
Good morning, Senator Edwards.
Hello, Ginger.
The University Club called to remind you you're to address them next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And a radio man from your hometown wants you to transcribe an interview on Thursday.
All right.
I told him you'd try to squeeze it into the schedule.
Good.
Senator Edwards, you look like you need some sleep. Where have you been?
I've been checking cars of foreign diplomats.
I don't get it.
I didn't get it either, but I tried.
Senator Edwards, what do you mean?
Well, Ginger, last night, Senator Vanion's assistant, John Canby, was beaten up and dumped on the lawn of his home in Arlington.
The Poor man. Was he badly hurt?
Yes, pretty severely, I'm afraid. Hospital says no change yet this morning.
But who did it and why?
I think we know the why. Some important papers, a report on a new weapon, were taken away from him. Who isn't so easy to answer. The car that delivered him to his house had a DPL license plate.
You mean a spy among the diplomats?
Well, it's been known to happen. I've been going over the automobile registrations for foreign representatives here. There are 8,000 men and women with diplomatic immunity in Washington. A great many have cars, and among these cars are a lot of dark sedans. Easier to find a needle in a haystack. I didn't get anywhere.
Senator Edwards' office.
Is he in?
Who's calling, please?
Never mind.
He won't give me his name.
I'll talk to him. Hello? Now, this is Senator Edwards.
Senator Edwards, let me give you some friendly advice. Do not meddle in affairs which do not concern you.
Wait a minute. Who is this?
Never mind. You are a young man, Senator. If you wish to live to be an old man, you will heed this warning. You will not get another.
Very interesting.
Who was it?
He didn't say, but he warns me not to meddle.
Senator, you're taking too much of a risk. You're endangering your life.
I regret that I have but one life, and I'm hanging on to it.
It's nothing to joke about. Please, let me notify Secret Service.
No, I've been in touch with them, Ginger. Now, don't worry about it. Right now, I think I'll run out to Arlington and see Mrs. Canby. I have a feeling she knows more than she's told us.
I don't know what you mean, Senator Edwards.
I mean, Mrs. Canby, that I think you've been withholding some information from me. I must ask you what it is.
I didn't want John to get into any trouble, or I'd have told you about the threats.
What kind of threats? Who made them?
We don't know. It was always over the phone. A man would call and tell John to leave certain papers on a park bench or at one of the memorials or some such place. John thought it was somebody's idea of a practical joke.
And you didn't take these threats seriously?
Well, I did, but John laughed them off. He said they were ridiculous, like something out of a B-movie. He said these things couldn't happen here in Washington.
I'm afraid he was wrong, Mrs. Canby. It can happen anywhere. There are no geographical boundaries to enemy operations.
A few blocks to my bus, Senator Edwards. You needn't bother.
No bother, Ginger. I'll walk you over there.
Thank you. Sometimes I feel like I spend the best years of my life at First and B Streets.
You know, Ginger, I have that same feeling sometimes about Capitol Hill. But I wouldn't want it otherwise, would you?
Oh, of course not. I like my job and my boss.
Why, thank you, Ginger. I'm afraid this has been a long day for you. I shouldn't keep you so late.
Well, there are a lot of things to clean up.
No, there's a break in the traffic. Shall we cross here?
All right. Isn't Washington beautiful at night? Senator Edwards!
Oh! Look out, Ginger!
Back to Tyrone Power, starring as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA, and the second act of our story.
This is Edmund C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Verbal explosions are commonplace in Washington, where a nation's policies and laws are debated and disputed. But physical violence is not unknown. And even today, violence may flare in the beautiful city that seems so calm and peaceful on the surface. A man is beaten, an important document stolen, an attempt made on the life of a young senator. Let's see how Senator Edwards and his secretary have fared.
Oh, they came close. Very close. If you hadn't screamed, Ginger. Ginger, are you all right?
I think so, Senator. Just bruised a little when I fell down.
No.
Oh, thanks for pulling me out of the way. They were trying to kill us.
Oh, me, Ginger. You were an innocent bystander. These people are playing for keeps. That's something we all have to realize. A life, anybody's life, means nothing to them if it gets in their way.
It's a dark sedan.
Yes, with a DPL plate. If only I could have caught that number.
I caught it.
You did?
It was 9X4238.
You're sure?
Senator, do I ever forget a number?
No, you don't. Oh, Ginger Mullen, you're wonderful. At last, I have a concrete lead. Come on, I'll put you in a taxi. You've got to get home.
Where are you going?
I have a date with my friend Mel Manning of Central Intelligence. We have a lot of checking to do.
Well, Dean, I've checked that license plate for you.
Now, what's the answer, Mel?
It's registered to Raymond Spurnall, Second Secretary of Ambassador Furlong's staff.
Uh-huh. Now we're getting somewhere. Well, what are we going to do about it?
Right now, nothing.
Nothing? I've told you how he tried to run down Ginger and me. And you sit here in your office and tell me you're going to do nothing about it?
Now, take it easy, Senator. Aren't you forgetting one little thing?
What's that?
Diplomatic immunity.
Oh, but when a case is so flagrant, measures can be taken.
We're powerless to do anything. Spurnall can't be arrested, sued, or punished. He's immune from both the criminal and civil jurisdictions of the United States.
All right. Forget that he tried to run me down. What would your attitude be if I told you Spurnall has stolen a state secret?
I might be impressed. Can you prove it?
Well, not yet. But I'm reasonably sure in my own mind that whoever tried to run me down is also the one who beat up Candy and stole the report on Project X he was carrying in his briefcase.
Being sure in your own mind doesn't help, Dean. We need proof. Relations between the United States and this Iron Curtain country are delicate as it is. If we want our envoys over there to have immunity, and we do, we have to grant it to their people here. It's a two-way street, Dean.
Well, far be it from me to kick protocol around. Thanks for the information, Mel. I'll see you later.
Now, wait a minute, Dean. Don't run away mad.
I'm not mad, Mel. I'm just a little irked.
Where are you bound for now?
I think I'll take a little run out Massachusetts Avenue.
Embassy Row, eh? Well, don't get us into any hot water. And be careful, will you, Dean? Nobody else plays me a decent game of golf.
No, thank you. I'll do my best to protect your golf interests.
Come in, Senator Edwards. I am deeply honored. Won't you sit down?
Well, thank you, Mr. Furlong. I know it's a late hour to call, but since you're still at work...
Quite all right, Senator. For you, I have time. We have not met before, but I am familiar with your record in Washington. What can I do for you, Senator?
Ambassador, you have on your staff a man named Raymond Spurnall.
Spurnall? Of course. A very fine man. My second secretary. A tireless worker. He began humbly as a truck driver. He studied nights to improve his lot and is now an invaluable member of my staff. That is a real story of success from humble origins, is it not?
Yes, very commendable, Ambassador. But there's one thing about Mr. Spurnall that isn't quite so commendable.
And what is that, Senator?
That he tried to kill me earlier this evening.
Well, this is some kind of a joke, no? You are pulling my leg. I am very fond of your American humor.
I am quite serious. Raymond Spurnall, or whoever was driving his car, deliberately tried to run down my secretary and myself near the Senate office building a few hours ago.
It is impossible, Senator.
What do you mean it's impossible?
I must advise you that Mr. Spurnall's car did not leave the embassy garage all day today.
Well, that's very interesting. In that case, Mr. Spurnall is completely absolved, isn't he?
Of course, Senator. In addition, as it so happens, my second secretary has not been driving at all today. He has been much too busy preparing for his trip.
Trip? He's going somewhere?
But of course. He's taking a short but well-earned vacation to his homeland. As a matter of fact, he is taking the plane out of here tonight.
I see. Well, forgive me for having troubled you, Ambassador.
Oh, no trouble in the least, Senator. I have enjoyed very much the opportunity to meet you. Must you go so soon?
Yes. I'm sure I've taken up too much of your time as it is.
You must visit the embassy more often, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I shall. Good night.
Blackwell? Flight 400 for New York, connecting with all overseas flights to London, Paris, Rome, and all points in the Far East. Now loading at gate 5.
Dean. Mel, you made it.
I made it. All the way out here to National Airport because I got a crazy phone call from you.
You got the stuff?
Why do you suppose I'm here? The key's the best I could get.
Will it fit?
I don't know. It's a super skeleton key. It should fit most of this type.
Mel, this key's got to fit.
Well, here's the pouch.
Wish me luck.
Look, Senator, I don't know what you're up to, and maybe it's better I don't. I'm only complying with an urgent request.
That's all it is, Mel.
Just tell me one thing. Do you know what you're doing?
I think so. Come on, that's my customer up ahead.
He looks like a rough boy, Dean.
He is. He studied nights.
I wonder what.
He's headed for the validation desk. Well, here goes.
It's your party, chum. Be careful, this guy's a man mountain.
Don't worry, Mel. This will be purely a matter of diplomatic interchange.
All right. I'll stick around in case it gets rough.
Validate my ticket quickly, please. Name in Spurnall, diplomatic.
Ah, Mr. Spurnall, I believe.
I beg your pardon. I don't believe I have met you.
Why, you ran into me tonight. Almost.
Indeed. That's very interesting, but I do not know you.
I'm Senator Edwards.
Oh, but of course. How stupid of me. How do you do, Senator Edwards?
Ambassador Furlong tells me you're going back home.
Yes, a little vacation. I'm homesick.
Well, have a nice trip.
Wait, Senator Edwards. You picked up the wrong pouch.
Hmm?
The one you are taking is mine.
Oh, you must be mistaken, Mr. Spurnall. I put this one right down here on the counter a moment ago. It's mine.
You are wrong, Senator. They look alike, but this is the one you put down. You picked up my pouch.
Oh, I'm sure you're mistaken, Mr. Spurnall.
I tell you that it is you that makes the mistake. This one is yours. The one you have belongs to me.
Let's not get excited, Mr. Spurnall. Keep calm. There's one way of settling this.
And what is that, Senator?
I'll just open this one to make sure.
And how do you propose to do this when I have the key?
Oh, I'm sure I have the key to this lock pouch, but we'll soon find out.
Well, now, just a minute. Just a minute there.
This can't be yours, Mr. Spurnall. Here's a report by an American committee. That wouldn't be yours, would it?
No. No, of course not. I must be in error about the pouches.
On a great many other points, too, Mr. Spurnall.
You're very clever, Senator. I underestimated you.
Well, not me alone, sir. You underestimate Americans. We're hospitable in this country, but we don't like our hospitality nor your diplomatic immunity abused.
Good morning, Senator Vanion.
Good morning, Miss Mullen. Is Senator Edwards in yet?
Yes, Senator.
Who is it, Ginger? Oh, hello, Senator Vanion. Come in.
Thank you.
Sit down, sir.
Thank you. Well, Senator Edwards, you must know how deeply grateful I am for the return of the report on Project X. You've performed a great service both for my committee and the nation.
I suppose you've heard that not only the original, but also a microfilm copy was in Spurnall's diplomatic lock pouch.
Yes, Central Intelligence informed me. He's a bold and ruthless man, this Spurnall, but not bold enough to return to his country and admit failure of his mission. He didn't board the plane that night. He canceled his trip home.
I didn't think he'd leave without the report.
The State Department has now made an official request for the recall of both Ambassador Furlong and Raymond Spurnall.
Good.
I dare say their country will ask us to recall our ambassador.
Yes, that's the customary procedure. But I'd say it's worth it to get rid of these spies in our midst, wouldn't you?
Definitely, Senator Edwards. The big thing, thanks to your aid, is that we've kept an important document home.
And that we're getting rid of vicious enemies in this country under diplomatic guise to spy out important secrets. Fortunately, most diplomats are not of this type. We're strong, but we can't afford to harbor and to give the privileges of immunity to spies and criminals.
This is Edwin C. Hill again, ladies and gentlemen. We have witnessed one behind-the-scenes battle in the Cold War being fought in Washington as well as other areas of the world. We have seen that our democracy, though hospitable, is not soft. We have found that we must be forever on guard against those who come here to work against our national interest. This is one phase of the eternal vigilance necessary to protect our freedom. This is Freedom USA.
Our star, Tyrone Power, will return in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tyrone Power. I like America. I like America because it offers freedom, dignity, and opportunity. Here, a man may vote as he pleases for the political candidate and party he favors. And in this golden land, he has opportunity. The chance to build his own destiny and to enjoy the highest standard of living in the world today. Perfection is always an ideal. And America may have its faults, but it's still the greatest spot on earth. And I think you'll agree that we're all lucky to be living here and to have the right to call ourselves Americans.
Week, may we invite you to again visit our national capital for another absorbing episode of Freedom USA, starring Tyrone Power. In the interest of good government, we urge you to listen to these important stories from Washington, D.C. Freedom USA.